Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour promise program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the What the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 27, 2017. The world is in great turmoil, and most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to that time clock. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, on the second number, the second number, that is my cell phone number, but lately I've been getting some calls, and why I didn't answer, they don't leave a message. That's what it is. I was reading this chat thing I got out. Anyway, they don't leave a message, and you need to leave a message if you want me to call you back, especially with all nowadays you get all kinds of weird phone calls. So I'm not going to just call a random number back. So you need to leave me a message with that. And we'll get back to you. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news of Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can also be sent by United States Postal Service and email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitation for donations. Why do we do that? Well, people want them back after they're prayed over with oil on them, and it's special to them. There's just lots of reasons, but, you know, we don't keep your personal information. We don't give it to anybody. We just use it for your benefit, and that doesn't mean I think I need to send you a Bible tract. I will send you your newsletter back, period. Or not newsletter, but say it for me. Letter back to you. Anyway, we have a prayer request form on the right-hand side of Prophecy Hour and MessiahsBranch.com pages. So that's another place that you can, once I call it a prayer request form, you can write anything in there and it will get to us. So you can use that to contact me also. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally on YouTube right. Yeah, right now it's on YouTube Live. If you don't believe me, go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and you'll find a link over there. Click on YouTube. We're live. And we're also on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. Airtime is coming up due again in a few days, and so pray about it. Without donations from you folks, we wouldn't be on the air. And we've been on the air, well, at least with American Voice Radio, since 2004. Okay, on another day, boy, I'm all kinds of tongue-tied today. What is the matter with me? Anyway, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Nicaragua, Mali, South Korea, Madrid, Spain, China, Espoo, Finland, and of course cities in the United States such as Denver, Colorado, Houston, Texas, Kansas City, Missouri, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Miami, Florida, and a whole bunch more. Last couple of weeks, I have been seeing from a whole bunch of cities that I have never seen before. So, folks, thanks for tuning in and share the radio program, and so more people will listen. Let's not forget Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they come to podcast later tonight. You folks over there in Wichita, look, I understand if you don't have money, but all of you got extra clothing or something, you know, a couple of dozen eggs, anything. Bring it by, come by and check us out and see what we do. Everybody, we ask, number one request we make of you is money. No. The number one request we make of you is that you pray for this ministry, because we need intercessory prayer. You know, the devil doesn't like what we do. He doesn't like that we're warning you folks. He doesn't like that we are getting people saved. He doesn't like that we're helping, you know, the people that he has beaten down. And so, please pray for this ministry. And, you know, and I believe that if you pray and you have a relationship, you will then be led, if the Father wills it, for you to make a donation or for others to do so. So anyway, now prayer, and let's just have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, please let radio go according to your will tonight, and please let everybody understand what is going to be said tonight. Guide me and just bless this radio program in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen and amen. Well, let's start this off with music, and we'll come back and talk.
Pruning for the harvest is a necessary thing. Help us bear more fruit for all and glorify the King. For Jesus is the true vine, His Father holds the shoots. At times the pruning hurts so bad and we have to shed some tears. His time harvest is coming soon. Must be thankful if we've been pruned. What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He does it cause He cares for us, and that's why He cuts us thin. When He's through, we may not see the good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. In time, harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. But then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. Soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it fits for others' use, we keep on bearing more. In time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. We must be thankful.
Folks, and you should be thankful when you're pruned, because, you know, it's just like you prune a tree so it'll bear more fruit. Yeshua compared us to a tree, you know, you're supposed to bear fruit for the kingdom, and you get pruned to do that. So when you go through trials and tribulations, that's a question of pruning you, and you should rejoice over those things. Anyway, on with the program. Well, folks, yes, the world is in such great turmoil, but let's look at things. First, let's look at Christian persecution. In 2016, over 90,000 Christians have been killed for their faith in Yeshua, which equals out to a death rate of 6 minutes on an average, one death every 6 minutes. So if we look at the clock, let's say if we just, you know, I'm not going to do it because 6 minutes is a long time for dead air. But, you know, if we just stop that, just sit in silence for 6 minutes sometime and see what that is. And then after that 6 minutes, think, well, there went another Christian, you know. And that status is from the Christian Post. But, you know, beyond that, there's so much other terrible things. I mean, turmoil in this world and evilness. And let's take this a little bit from an article from Michael Snyder. You know, the question, headline to it is what is the fastest growing religion in the United States? I asked that today of a couple of people. I asked it of my daughter-in-law and I asked it of my wife. And I said, what is the fastest growing religion? Well, my wife, she knew me pretty well and she didn't answer. But my daughter-in-law said, well, Christianity. Well, if you said Christianity, you'd be way off. In fact, the most recent numbers show that Christianity is in a serious state of decline in America. In fact, in America, America is now considered one of the nations that persecute Christians. Anyway, back to the article. Well, if you said Islam, you're much closer to a correct answer, Michael says. Islam is one of the fastest growing major religions in the United States. I knew that. You probably knew that if you listen to this program. But there is a faith that's growing even faster than Islam. I wonder how many of you are guessing it. Back to Michael. It's called Wicca. It's currently growing at an astounding pace. Wicca emerged as a faith in the middle of the 20th century, but many origins of the many Wiccan practices actually go back for thousands of years. And some researchers believe that certain aspects of Wicca can actually be traced all the way back to the ancient Babylon. Yeah, folks, Babylon. According to Wikipedia, Wicca is a modern pagan witchcraft religion. It's been estimated that the number of Americans that are Wiccans is doubling every 30 months. At this point, there are more than 200,000 registered witches and approximately 8 million unregistered practitioners of Wicca. Now, registered witches, I didn't even know that you could register witchcraft, but for anybody that's registered, I'm sure there's a numerous amount of people out there that are into witchcraft that aren't registered. What do you think? And it is important to know, and it is important to remember that Wicca is just one form of witchcraft. There are many other darker forms of witchcraft that are also experiencing tremendous growth. Yes, absolutely. That's one of the reasons I gave up Halloween when I found out that literally, and I found out this from a police department report in Wichita, Kansas, that they used to train their officers, that many on Halloween, there many children are sacrificed, and that it's an active, ongoing investigation across the country. They just don't talk about it, but they're on to witchcraft, and it's horrendous what people do in the name of witchcraft. And yes, child sacrifices. In fact, they will take a baby. They will take a woman will have a baby, and she is helped by a midwife, and the baby never gets registered, and so they have a baby that never has a birth certificate that they raise to sacrifice, and that isn't even including the kidnapped ones. So, wow, let's move on. Well, wait a minute. My work influences that. You know, we see women disappear off the street. If you're a good-looking woman and you go homeless, unless, you know, you probably got less than a 20 or 30% chance of not being kidnapped off the street and nobody ever see you again. And in some of those cases, you might not come to a bad end, but in a lot of those cases, it is a very, very bad end that you come to, whether you're murdered or whether you're taken away state like this and forced to have babies and so on and so forth, it's just a horrendous thing. But anyway, let's go on with the last of this thing from Michael's article. This is a trend that didn't start until a few years ago. That did not just start a few years ago. And in fact, Wicca experienced an average annual growth rate of 143% in the United States between 1990 and 2001. Now, there are newer stats, but I didn't have time to find them today. And thanks, Michael, for the article. The American Religious Identification Survey, this is from something else, gives Wicca an annual average growth rate of 143%. And that's pretty much the same for Australia and Canada. Since then, it has did nothing but increase. According to the statesman, Anne Elizabeth Wynn claims, the two most recent American Religious Identification Survey declare Wicca one form of paganism, and it's the fastest growing spiritual identification in America. Even Christianity Today magazine has given positive reviews of the Harry Potter witchcraft series. Really? The sad truth that professed Christians are endorsing such Satanistic inventions as Harry Potter clearly reveals the apostate times that we are living in. Even Christians, when Christians no longer recognize evil as evil, then you know society has been utterly desensitized to the exceeding sinfulness of sin. In Isaiah, we find Isaiah 5:20, King James Version says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Is that not what's going on right now? And you could say that with witchcraft and many other things, you know, like nudity. You know, so many people, I mean, you're seeing gross nudity, especially in movie stars and things, and it's filtering on down to winning women wanting to free the nipple. You know, free the nipple, really? Where is the outrage from the church? We still have not heard an outrage from the church on these issues on the body of Messiah. Why haven't we been? You know, so let's look at where the church is at with a couple of numbers, and we'll see if we can get to this, start getting to the bottom of this a little bit. We'll use homosexuality. Acceptance of homosexuality is rising across the broad spectrum of American Christianity, including among members of churches that strongly oppose homosexual relationships as sinful. And this is according to an extensive Pew Research Center of survey taken of U.S. beliefs and practices. So let's look at a few of the numbers, and then afterwards we'll look at where some of these same religions, stand. What is their doctrine statements on these things? But anyway, here's Protestant denominations are now more accepting of homosexuality. In African Methodist Episcopal Church, in 2007, it was 54% was accepted of it. In 2014, 61%. See the rise? American Baptist churches, 40% in 2007, and in 2014, 54% agreed. Now, Anglican churches in 2007, 63% said that they agreed. Well, by 2014, that number grew to 67%. Assemblies of God in 7, 16%. In 14, 26%. Church of God in Christ in 07, 31%. In 14, 38%. Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, in 07, 19%. In 14, 22%. Church of God of the Nazarene, 07, 31%. 14, 40%. Churches of Christ, 07, 31%. 14, 35%. Episcopal Church, wow, 70% in 07, and in 14, 83%. Okay, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, in 07, 56% agreed. 14, 73%. Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, 07, 44%. 14, 56%. National Baptist Convention in 07, 35%. In 14, 54%. Presbyterian Church in America in 07, 41%. In 14, 49%. Presbyterian Church in 07, 52%. In 14, 65%. Seventh-day Adventist, 07, 23%. In 14, 27%. About at the end of it. Southern Baptist Convention in 07, 23%. In 14, 30%. United Church of Christ in 07, 69%. In 14, 82%. United Methodist Church in 07, 51%, and in 14, 60%. Now, where do these churches stand? Now, what is their doctrine statements? Where do they stand? Now, remember, these are going to be, even though the church doesn't agree with it, doesn't mean the people don't. So, now let's hear, prohibits same-sex marriage. These churches do this. Orthodox Jewish Church, Roman Catholic Church, Southern Baptist Convention, United Methodist Church, Islam, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Assemblies of God, and American Baptist churches all say they don't agree with it. Same-sex marriage, okay, agree with it. Conservative Jewish movement, Episcopal Church, Evangelical and Lutheran Church in America, Presbyterian Church, Society of Friends, Quaker, Unitarian University Association of Church, and United Church of Christ. That surprises me about the Quaker Church, you know, and even conservative Jewish movement also really surprises me. Well, folks, I suggest that you go over to the bathroom or do whatever it is that you need to do and meet me back here in 3 minutes. Go to prophecyhour.com because we're going to have a break back in three. This is Pastor Dan Calhoun, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And, of course, because it's me talking today, I just love music, and I tell you to send us some music if you have it. Send us an MP3, and we'll play it on the air, and, of course, it'll go into the podcast. But, you know, send it to us, and we'll play it. We got one more song right now. Thing I know is clear. absolutely in control. He is absolutely in control. Wow. Well, before we went to break, I ran down some statistics with you about how the church was accepting homosexuality and all of the abomination things. My question is if they are reading the Bible, then how do they come to these conclusions that it's all right? Is the Bible just become irrelevant? Has it become irrelevant for you? This is a question that you need to ask yourself. And so in order to do that, I'm going to show you where we're at. What does the Bible say about this? Can we shine any light on it? Well, my Bible does tell me that these things are an abomination. So just how serious are you, and how serious do you look at your Bible? Let's look at a parable by Yeshua HaMashiach, who is our Savior, of course, Jesus Christ, if you will. Matthew 25, 1 to 13, King James Version, it goes like this. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. I had the screen moving there. I want to make sure I read it correctly. Let's just do this. Okay, now then. Matthew 25, 1 to 13 says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them, which are wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took their oil and their vessels with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out and meet him. Then all of the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us. But you must rather go to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut tight, or it was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. So watch therefore, you know what neither the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So let's look backwards to verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Every one of them, all. All the virgins, which is the body of Messiah, this bridegroom, were asleep, according to Yeshua. Then verse 6, let's go on to verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and go ye out to meet them. 7. And then those virgins arose and trimmed their lamp. So it looks like the whole body of believers heard this cry or this warning, and they rose up. In verse 8, moving right along, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Well, while asleep, they carried on with the world. That's like this. You're sleepwalking. How many of you are carrying on with the world and Christians such as these that are accepting these abominations inside of their churches and are accepting them? I mean, come on, you're accepting witchcraft and astrology and all those things that the Bible calls abominations and homosexuality and all of these things. But why are you doing that? You're asleep. You may proclaim to be a Christian, but are you really? Because Christian means Christ-like, Messiah-like, Messianic. So what has happened to you? What has happened? Why are you asleep? Why are you carrying on whoredom with the world? Okay, now we're going on. In verse 9 we have, the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us, but you rather go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. Too late. They could not repent enough in time to come in and turn back to the Word, which the Word is made flesh as Yeshua. And he told them that he knows them not. So watch ye therefore, neither the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Are you carrying on with the world? because you don't think Yeshua is coming? Woe unto the sleep body of Messiah. An awakening will come very, very quickly. Wake up now before it's too late. Let me refer to another scripture, Matthew 21, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not every one of you say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter. And by the way, I read out of the King James Version. Not every one of you that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many, many, many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew ye. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And I've said this before on this program. You go to the word iniquity, you look up the word iniquity, it says lawlessness, being without law. Well, if you look up the word law, you'll find the root word of the word law is Torah. So ye that work iniquity means being without Torah. And so what is Torah? Torah is the first five books of the Bible. That is really the only place in the New Testament that there's ever, whenever it says scripture or refers to commandments, any of those things, they're referring to the Torah, because the New Testament was not written yet. And remember, Paul says all scripture is good for rebuke and correction, right? Okay, but going on. So Torah is the first five books of the Bible. You go, well, what's this with this word Torah? Torah is like if you put a target on over there in the field and you shoot at it with a bow and arrow, and the arrow hits the bullseye, which is hitting the mark. So hitting the mark is Torah, that teaches us to hit the mark. What is the mark? Mark is righteousness. So what is sin? Sin is missing the mark, you know, being without Torah. That goes back to the Jewish mindset, you know, or the Hebrew mindset, which there is no such thing as bad, just lack of good. You know, there is no such thing. And, you know, even scientists tell you there is no such thing as a thing called darkness. There's just lack of light. And so if you lack light, that's what you are. And if you don't put Torah in your brain, if you don't put good things in your brain, you're not going to put good things out. And so this is something that you need to do. People, and don't give me all that jazz about being set free from the Torah and all that, or from the law. You don't even know that law means Torah and what Torah actually means. Because Torah is the whole five books. That means the story of Genesis, the story of Adam and Eve, the story of the flood. You know, all of those things are Torah. They are lessons for living and how it is applied. So, you know, Torah isn't just a bunch of rules. And if you read the rules, you know, what rule is it you don't like about incest? Now, of course, we can't do the sacrificial rules. You know, there is no temple anyway. There's no place to make a sacrifice. And Yeshua was a sacrifice, the sin sacrifice. So, you know, so it boils down to things like thou shalt not kill or do murder. Thou shalt not do murder. You know, talks about not lying. Tells you to love the Lord your God. Yeah, did you know that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Yeshua said this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. These two things are Torah. So if the Torah was done away with, why would Yeshua quote them? You know, also when he rebuked the devil, when it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. He said that to rebuke the devil. And if that was done away with, that wasn't something Yeshua just dreamed up at that moment to say. It was something that came from where? The Torah. So if the Torah is done away with, then I guess you wouldn't have to love your neighbor as yourself, right? Okay. Think about that for a minute. Okay. And so people here in the West, you got this thing of saying never here on American soil. You just don't know, do you? At some point it is going to hit. We're in a modern time and things are hitting American soil. And so you need to think about that. We'll come back to this, but I got to get this in about North Korea because people are bugging me and they want to know. So on another note, let's talk about North Korea for a minute. Last night when I was at the gym, you know, a fellow asked me, he said, hey, he said, when do you think war with North Korea will come? Now, you know, this is a guy I talk to, you know, every time I go to the gym and we talk about all kinds of things. North Korea was the subject. Anyway, I said back to him, I said at any minute. Well, yeah, any minute, but that any minute means any minute, and it really just depends on what North Korea does. Because, you know, they're putting out video after video of hate video threatening the United States and even the White House. Now, a lot of say, oh, that's just rhetoric. You know, they won't do anything. They can't do anything. Well, I don't know. What is the trigger? Testing another nuclear weapon? If they test another nuclear weapon, will America do something about it? We just don't know. But how are the other nations taking it? That's what we need to look at. Well, Russia had meetings, three days worth of meetings with Japan over different things, trade and a whole lot of things. But one of the major things they talked about, which was said, is that they acknowledge that the situation in North Korea is of dire circumstances. And while they're calling for a peaceful solution to it, you know, China and Russia both have sent troops to the wars with North Korea. They are making preparations like it will happen anyway. Any moment is what they say. Any moment. They don't know. They don't know. So what would a war look like? Well, let's go with this. We do know that South Korea and Japan would most likely be attacked by North Korea unless we just completely obliterated all of their capabilities. I believe that the order would be issued to retaliate, okay? And let's say we took out one of their nuclear missiles on a launch pad. I believe they would retaliate almost instantly. And we have roughly 49,000 troops stationed in Japan and 28,000 in South Korea. Now, that's the latest statistic that I could find, but I heard it was higher than that, much higher. But so we have all these troops there. Notwithstanding that the poor people in Japan and the poor people, the Japan citizens and the South Korean citizens that could be killed by this. But we really don't know what they would do. And we really don't know about, you know, it's a hard country to get information out of. We don't really know what North Korean weapons can really do. But many are very badly outdated, but they also have nuclear capabilities that could hit Japan and South Korea. And the speculation is also maybe even Hawaii, which, by the way, people in Hawaii are pretty shook up and they're making preparations. Even the people in California are talking about it and actually, into the world. Worry about it. You had the president. He called all the senators in and had a meeting with them, and that's both Democrat and Republican, and he laid it out on the table how dire the circumstance is. So whether you're taking it serious or not, it looks like our government is taking it serious. It looks like Japan is taking it serious. It looks like South Korea is taking it very serious. It looks like Russia is taking it what? Very serious. China taking it what? Very serious. So it looks like the world is taking it serious. But I bet you, have you heard any of this in your church? Is the pastor warning you to say, make sure that you're right and ready? Because if this starts, this, you know, I do not believe any way, shape, or form that there is, that China wants all-out nuclear war or even a minor nuclear war or any kind of war, and the same with Russia. But this could easily escalate. And if it escalates, what's going to happen? We don't know. We also remember that North Korea, just a second, and and this is from WorldNet Daily, North Korea, in an interview, it was revealed that North Korea now has two satellites orbiting over the United States capable of performing a surprise electromagnetic pulse attack, that's an EMP, at an altitude and trajectory, that evades the United States missile national missile defenses. A national security expert warned this in an interview with Joseph Farah. And Joseph Farah is the creator or CEO, president, I don't know what you want to call it, founder of WorldNet Daily. He's the top guy. And so in an interview with him, this came out. It was the man that brought it out was Peter Vincent Pry, and he told the G2 Bulletin that satellites can be commanded to either deorbit and hit a target on the ground or explode at a high altitude to create an EMP effect that would knock out the unprotected U.S. national electric grid system and all the life-sustaining critical infrastructures that depend on it. Now, listen to me. Listen to me, folks. We just had... in California, you folks over there in California, I know we've got a lot of California listeners. You know, you folks over there in California just experienced some blackouts over there. And that's because your grid system, it's not hardened. And, you know, I don't know what actually caused it, but it's not in a good place. Neither is the massive grid system across the United States. That's why President Trump is harping about infrastructure. Let's do an infrastructure thing. We need to get it. The grid is part of the infrastructure. It needs to be hardened, but it's not right now. What would happen with an EMP? You know, practically anybody that had, I mean, look at all the people that's in hospitals. With no electricity, it looks like they would probably die pretty quickly. Supply routes would shut down. People that are on regular medications would no longer have those regular medications. Any of you folks out there on regular medications? You see where this is going? So you'd be in dire trouble. The stores don't have warehouses full of food. They get food shipped in from all over the country every night. Most major stores do. Places like Walmart we're talking about and Dillon's and things are always looking for night stalkers. Night stalkers, that's funny. Anyway, not the same thing. Stalkers and stalkers. Anyway, moving right along. So, food supply would run out. That's why I say no matter what, even if it's a storm, food supply in this country is fragile. You need to have food stocked up for your family and people that would knock on the door. That's absolute. You know, pray about it, but it's absolute. You should have that. And, you know, even civil defense tells you that. I believe in at least a year's supply of food. I know a lot of you don't have the money to do that. And I know so many of you quit stocking up as soon as Trump came in president. And that was just, I believe it's foolish to quit stocking just because Trump came president. But I do, you know, I'm praying that we have good times ahead. And I believe that we may have a period of time. But going back to that, at what point does the wake-up call come? When we think that it isn't coming, that's what the word tells us, you know, because it says that the Son of Man will come at a time when you're not aware. And while, you know, those of us, especially in that keep the feast and things, we think that we know that this season in which he'll come in, but we don't really know the actual absolute year or season when, you know, all this bad stuff will start. And, you know, so we need to all be ready. I think it really will come as the big shock will come as quite a surprise, especially to Western Christianity. So you need to repent and get on your face. You need to do things that are pleasing to the Father. You know, when was the last time that you got up out of bed or you got up or you went to bed and said a prayer and or prayed during your daytime and prayed for things other than for yourself? Or when is the last time you actually did something for Yeshua? You know, I mean, no, not all of us are evangelists. Are you an evangelist? I don't know. But are you not supporting the people that are feeding the poor, taking care of the widows and the orphans, things that you're supposed to do? You know, remember, you've got to read about the separation of the sheep and goats. The separation of sheep and goats. So, you need to do things that are pleasing. You want to know things that are pleasing? Go to the parable where it tells us about it from Yeshua. And it's in Matthew 25. And let's see here. Well, it starts at Matthew 25, 31. Matthew 25, 31. I don't know that I have time to read it. I've only got a couple of minutes, so I won't read it. But it starts off, when the Son of Man shall come in all his glory and all his angels with him, and he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and there shall he gather all the nations, and he separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he'll place them and separate them. So pray about doing the right things. And I'm not just talking about, yeah, I need your help for the Wichita Mission Church, but I'm talking about it starts with family. But remember, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help for food, clothing, over-the-counter medications, and we get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us that we're coming up on our 18th year that make the Mission Church work. Yes, we minister to the people in a part of town that most people don't even want to drive through after dark. So why do so many people come for us for help? Well, but love. And they're treated as family, and we give them a relationship. Beyond that, we don't really have any guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. And if we don't have a way to fill their need, we pray it in. Like right now, I've got a phone call I have to answer back about a couple that lost everything and is stranded in Wichita. They have nowhere to stay. Their car was stolen, I think, is what I was told, or left on the machine. And, you know, right now I have no way to help them. I'm going to put it out on my email list if I needed to get up a little bit of money to help these folks, or if they know someplace for them to stay, whatever. That's what we do. We try to find them something. Anyway, that's why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping people, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. Isn't that just ludicrous and crazy? We are the last hope, folks, for so many people. And, folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations keep us on the air. And it would be nice to be able to pay radio on time. So the radio hasn't been on time, I don't think, this year yet. So pray about it. We need $250. It'd be nice to even get it tonight so I could just go ahead and pay him ahead of time. But pray about supporting, airtime donations. That would be great. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And if you don't, remember, if you don't wish to help with the poor, donate for radio. Okay? Yeah, we're going to have to be getting out of here. But remember, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, folks, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father Yahweh, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.